Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ dhammaṃ sanghaṃ namassāmi. So this evening I thought I'd say a few words about how Buddhism can help us to relate to our emotional world, or how Buddhism can be like a therapy to us, how it's similar to or different from therapy. So having been and studied psychology, then I should have some, feel a little bit qualified here. Say something about this as well as from my Buddhist practice that followed on from that. So often when we begin to meditate, then it's our emotional world that is a predominant feature. And common parts, we have a lot of stuff coming up. And as a reaction or response, like opening the Pandora's box. Why is this? First of all, often the reason why this happens is that sitting, meditating, and for one, we're denying ourselves for a moment. We're not acting on the craving that's in our minds. We're not doing what we want. Just sitting there. So this craving is entering into our minds, and always say what it really wants. Craving can have all kinds of different voices, can sound very reasonable. Not always saying, I don't want to do this, I want to be doing something else. It just moans away in a much more anonymous way. Doesn't really reveal itself very well at the beginning. So we have to get a bit deeper to see, where is all this coming from, all this stuff. There could be a reaction to the pain of sitting. If one hasn't been used to sitting for long periods, then the discomfort can bring up a lot of stuff, and people can actually downplay this. They don't realize that's where it's coming from, and used to just tolerating this kind of discomfort for no good reason, seemingly for no good reason. Yeah, this can actually be the principal cause. If one can recognize this, one can place one's mind on that discomfort and realize that it's not a big deal, or less, we can learn how to tolerate it. It's a very useful skill to be able to tolerate that discomfort. Not allow it to push our minds around. After all, we're not just not able to escape a lot of all the discomforts of life. Run around, who can lead a life running around trying to? There's not much of a life. It can seem. A lot of psychologists point this out now, the relationship of our emotional stuff to our bodies. A lot of therapists will talk as though all this stuff is in your body. It can seem like that, coming up out of the body. This is where feeling is, predominantly. The feeling is in the body. The body is the thing that feels things. So it can seem like our stuff is in the body. That's not in the body, actually. What Buddhist practice can show you, and this is a very important thing, a very radical thing, change our relationship to our emotional world completely if we realize that our stuff is not in the body. That may seem to be. Buddha would say that all this stuff is in our minds, not in the body. A feeling is an aspect of our minds. Already. Yet it can seem that this stuff lives in or is stuck in our bodies. The modern yogic tradition of people getting in touch with their bodies and then all this stuff coming up, coming out. It's all very healthy to get it all out. And it's a useful half-truth to say that that's the case. It can be a useful process, the yogic process, and yet it's not the truth. Not the ultimate truth. Essentially, then, these phenomena can seem like they're in our bodies because our minds are attached to our bodies, and while our minds are attached to our bodies, then this is the case that our thoughts and feelings or emotions will seemingly arise from the body or from the head. Our thoughts are in our head, or our feelings are in our bodies. If we lose our attachment to the body, then this whole relationship changes. If our mind detaches from the body through my meditation practice, then the whole thing changes. And so our emotions seem like they're stuck in the bodies, in our bodies, because our minds are stuck in our bodies. If our minds are not stuck in our bodies, then our feelings won't be. And we won't have to go fishing around for them. They'll be right there in front of us, but in a much more open space. You imagine they're trapped in the body, trapped in this limited space, stuck in this limited space. And it's their limitation and their stuckness that's the suffering of them, principally. If we can open up the space in which they operate, then it's a different experience already. And this is the kind of thing that our meditation practice can offer us. To become aware of the body, aware of the posture, say, and this isn't an open awareness, not a focus, not a small focus. We're not looking down, looking for the feelings, with a focused mind, but we're opening the mind and allowing these things to go their own way, setting them free from being trapped down there. This can be very pleasant, very liberating, and also very enlightening. We begin to see their real nature. Also, one can become one's own therapist. One doesn't need somebody else to interpret our feelings anymore. We can see them clearly for ourselves. All the complications of a relationship with a therapist, of projection or of dependence or so on, they're not there. So if we establish the first foundation of mindfulness out of the body, the whole body, then we open up a channel to our emotional world. I remember a couple of years after my father died very tragically, then I had my first chance of a retreat in the forest at Chittorst. I did very keen and did a lot of body sweeping, just going through the body over and over and over again, the feelings of the body. And then I went back to the monastery, and one of the nuns was describing her own father's death. And all of a sudden all the feelings were coming up very strongly, but very freely. So being English, then ran off to my little private room upstairs and cried my eyes out for 2 hours, and then it was all over. And this in terms of resolution, post-traumatic stress, and this is what the therapists are all looking for. They're looking for all the feelings to come up. But they all wonder, well, there's all theories about how do these feelings come up without you re-traumatizing, in other words. Anyway, all the memories come up, all the feelings come up, and we just suffer anew. These things aren't really released at all. It's just going back through the whole mucky scenario, suffering all over again. Next time these things come up, it's going to be the same story. But every time these things come up, it might be the same story. So how do we prevent this kind of re-traumatizing? And we do this by welcoming these things into an open mind, a mind opened by mindfulness of the body, opening the channel just through a pure, bare awareness of the body. And these things can pass through and go their own way. The development of the detachment from the body, this is a much more long-term result. One pays attention to the body, examines the body, and then mind becomes detached from it. You see the mind and the body separate from each other. So it's a much more deep, subtle thing. Takes much longer time and dedicated practice to get into this one. And this is the ultimate solution. Cutting the root of all, the root of attachment. So the mind will no longer attach to the body, no longer these things can no longer get stuck. Stickiness is gone. In the meantime, then just developing a more free-flowing emotions. Suffering of emotions if they get stuck. If they won't come up, if they get stuck. But if you get them to flow freely in open space, then it's awful lot easier.